Think Red Ink presents The Questions of Jesus. Profound meditations with author and host Don C. Harris. What did Jesus ask?
Question 16. Why are you so fearful? Matthew 8:26. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? One of the beautiful things about having four Gospels is reading the same account from three or four perspectives. The account of Jesus calming the storm is no exception. In one, he asked, Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? In another, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And then finally, as the story appears only in three of the Gospels, he asked, Where is your faith? From this story, take notice that the lack of faith is an indicator to Jesus that they are full of fear, or vice versa if you prefer, but it's obvious that faith and fear are mutually exclusive forces. More so than a discussion of faith, we want to consider the question that brought about the self-examination. Why are you so fearful? Many of the answers to the questions Jesus asked were for our information, not his. Even if we do not hold to the idea that Jesus knew everything or could read minds, we must agree that his wisdom far surpassed mankind's. He asked, Why are you so fearful? Not because he did not know. He asked in order to initiate an internal self-questioning process within the disciples. He was saying, Stop, wait a minute and think. Why are ye so fearful? This self-examining process is an essential part of the Christian faith that is lacking in most of our personal lives and certainly in conventional congregational worship. This process cannot be bypassed, done in haste or hurry, nor can it be accomplished in formulaic steps or procedures. It is a meeting of the minds, so to speak, a meeting of reality within us that can only be accomplished through honest questions and honest answers. In silent contemplation, we listen to the Word of God, the living Christ, within us. As he evaluates our condition and queries us, we answer him, and our answers may candidly determine our shortcomings and expose the necessary changes. But it is the waiting, the silent waiting upon him that will present light to our souls and refresh our innermost being. The noise of our lives and the noise of our churches attest to the lack of quietness within our spirits. Quietness is uncomfortable to most because it naturally reveals the noise in our souls. We try to avoid this candid meeting with Christ from occurring within us, for we dread it may make our fears of our Father's displeasure a reality. Noise is necessary to keep this honest, internal conversation from happening, lest we find ourselves convicted in our favorite lifestyle and then obliged to change it. It's the lack of our Father's approval that deprives of sincerity. We want to feel his hand of salvation on us so we can feel peace. But we avoid feeling his hand of correction. How can we have one and not the other? Do not both touches of his hand come at once? The writer in Hebrews 12 says, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live, that we might be partakers of his holiness? Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's verses 6 through 11, abridged. It is the pain of correction that brings about the feeling of being true children of your Father in heaven, as well as affecting lasting changes in our lifestyle that please him. But we avoid this pain. Sometimes we mistakenly think that the absence of discomfort we feel, resulting from the singing or orchestrated harmony with others when we're making a, quote, joyful noise, is his approving hand on our lives. But relief is not remedy. Our temporary comfort is no more a sign of healing than drug-induced pain alleviation is an evidence of a medical cure. We are fearful because we do not know our future. We do not know our future because we do not have faith in God. We do not have faith in God because we're not in communication with him. We're not in communication with him because our sins have created a painful barrier between us. Sadly, what's been forgotten are the words of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now that we know the answer, let's hear the question again. Why are ye so fearful? When faced with a trial of our faith, we naturally think of ways we've displeased our God. It is as though we have a delinquent debt to the local hospital, and we find ourselves in need of their services again. Though they may treat us through mercy, we know, because of our debt, we do not deserve it. You should live in such a way so that no debt, no sin or shortcoming should be outstanding as you approach the Father in prayer. Why are you so fearful? It is likely that you feel afraid in your trials because your disobedience and your recent failures give you no assurance that God is in control or will help in time of need. Selfish acts and concerns are often responsible for faithlessness and fear. Don't live in a manner where only your interests are preponderant. In doing so, you will surely consider the storms that rise in your life are obtrusive impositions into your world, or even punishment for your sin. Notice that Jesus did not ask, "Why are you afraid of storms?" That would be a silly question, as it is well established that storms are dangerous. He asked, "Why are you so fearful?" Jesus was awakened by his disciples, asking, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Not only had they become fearful of the tempest, but they had also surmised in their fear that Jesus did not care if they died. They didn't doubt his ability to act as much as they now doubted his willingness to act on their behalf. Jesus asked them about their fearfulness. They were not only afraid of the storm, which was normal. He asked them why they were full of fear. Why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith? These questions would sober any honest Christian and initiate self-examination. You may feel that fear is out of your control. However, you should remember that the fear you feel is in inverse proportion to your faith in God. Your works exemplify and give evidence to your faith in God. And your works are within your control. When weather out of your control pitches and tosses your boat. You can bravely steer ahead on into the waves and remain afloat only if you know that you're going where you were told to go, doing what you were told to do, and serving your master and not your own interests. Steer, go, do, and serve. All are works within your control. It is only the one who seeks the easy way, or the one who looks for the loopholes, who fears when the way grows dark and ominous. It's the one who dodges responsibility and performs only the least that is expected, who is uncertain that God cares or doubts that he would use his power to save. You're not to be cowardly and worthless, trembling and unsure. You're to hold in high regard your commission and the commissioner. You may only exemplify that respect by your servile attitude and selflessness. Then you can function in true and trusting faith, living in full assurance that if he says go, you go till you arrive, and if he says to do, you do until you're done. You will fear nothing because you are not your own. You are bought with a price. You have nothing to fear as you live day to day, doing only that which pleases him. So then, why are you so fearful?
That's all for this time. You've been listening to Don C. Harris at Think Red Ink Ministries. Do you have questions or comments? We'd like to hear from you. Send an email to don@thinkredink.com. Join us again for the next episode of The Questions of Jesus.